Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ speaks of his own departure from this world. And this is the time in which we live. We do not see him with our eyes. He is with us always, even as he promised, but we do not see him, nor do we hear his voice. He works through means. And yet he himself says that this is to your advantage. It is good that we do not see Christ anymore with our eyes as he is carrying out his ministry on this earth. Because if Christ goes away, that means he has completed the work the Father sent him to do. His ascension is him going back to the Father and the Father receiving him into heaven, confirming that all the work the Father desired is now accomplished. Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing more can be added. Salvation is firm and secure in the blood of Christ. He lived a perfect life. He could not show up as a 33-year-old and die the next day. He lived a perfect life to fulfill the law in our place. He died a perfect death, bearing our sins, our guilt, our wrath, so that we might be free. Because of all that Christ did during his earthly life, the Father now receives him back into heaven as the King of heaven and earth. Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing more can be added. It is finished by Christ's work alone. And so this is good. For now the Son of God sends the Holy Spirit into the world. It is better to be where we are right now than in that first century seeing Jesus with our eyes, because now we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So do not think you are missing out on anything. Tell me, when did the church flourish? When Jesus walked this earth, or after Pentecost? What Christ has won is now being poured out by the Holy Spirit upon the entire world. The Spirit is our helper, who helps us not by giving us warm, fuzzy feelings or by making everything in our life go a certain way, but who helps us by guiding us into all truth. Men by nature do not know that truth. They have an inkling, an idea. They have a standard of morality for themselves, knowing that if they do this or that, it is wrong. Lying to mom and dad is wrong. Hurting a neighbor is wrong. They have that standard, but it is imperfect. They know they are accountable to someone else, that God is holy and just. And yet man's default religion is a work-righteous religion. If I do my best to be good and to treat others with kindness, love, respect, generosity, and patience, then certainly I must be fit for heaven. Yet man's default religion can never soothe his conscience, because he never knows if he has ever done enough to make up for even one sin. He knows he has talked back to his mom and dad, maybe not as a 90-year-old, but as a 9-year-old. He knows he has been impatient and unkind. And he knows those things are not right, even by his own standards. So how can someone claim to be good if he has not even attained to his own standard set for himself? The truth hurts, because the Holy Spirit leads us into the full truth about ourselves. We want to assume that God understands our life and he will give us a second chance. That talking back to mom really did not stoke his wrath, merit hell, or deserve eternal punishment. And yet, what did God say to Adam and Eve? On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Not twice, not three strikes, one. Each sin merits death and hell. Each sin stokes the wrath of a holy and just God who demands perfection. If man wants to be judged by how good he is, then he must be perfect from his first breath to his final breath. The truth hurts because we are not holy. The Spirit preaches that law. God never gives anyone a second chance, ever. Doesn't matter how little the sin may be or how great the sin may be, God never gives anyone a second chance. Perfection is the standard if man wants to be judged by his works. So one sin merits death and hell. Doesn't have to be one sin that harms someone else. But each sin makes one worthy of hell and reveals what he is by nature. Society may approve of those sins, but that doesn't mean God does. So living together outside of marriage stokes the wrath of God and merits hell. Society approves of such behavior, but God does not. Speaking ill of your governor or of your president stokes the wrath of God and merits hell. Taking a dollar from mom's purse merits hell. And even thinking about taking a dollar and not doing it still merits hell, for God doesn't simply judge your hands or your lips. He judges your heart, which conceives of these sinful ideas. So according to our own standard, we are not innocent. According to God's standard, all we do has been tainted with sin. All have fallen short. So who can stand before God with his works in hands and claim to be a good person? Who can merit heaven? By the law of God, the Holy Spirit leads you to the truth about yourself. He takes away every excuse that you may have so that no one can say, "I am good." For the truth about all sinners is that they are worthy of death and hell because of the first sin. The truth about God is that he is holy and just and demands perfection from the very moment of your first breath to the very last breath you take. And if you fail, even once in your heart, it's hell. The Spirit has nothing more to say about you than this. But the Spirit does have something more to say about God. He has a Son, and he sent that Son into the world to live your life, holy and righteous, to bear your sins. Not just some or the big ones, but every sinful thought and inclination was upon Christ's shoulders. And he died in the place of all men. He suffered hell and wrath in the place of all men. This is what we call the gospel, and that word gospel means good news. Good news indeed. Redeemed by Christ, saved by Christ, accomplished all by Christ, without any works on our part. How do you get it? Christ died 2,000 years ago and roughly 8,000 miles away. How do you get it today here in Mission Viejo? This is why Christ speaks of the Holy Spirit and why it's to your advantage that Christ goes away not only to win salvation, but now he might pour out salvation by his Holy Spirit. Jesus says this, "The Spirit takes what is mine and declares it to you." The Spirit takes the righteous life of Christ, beautifully woven together from infancy until his death, and declares it to be yours. The Spirit takes the forgiveness of Christ secured in his own blood and declares it to be yours. The Spirit takes the holiness and he justifies you and declares you to be not guilty, holy, innocent, and pure. It's grace and grace alone that allows God to do such things. You see how Christ praises the work of the Holy Spirit as essential to our salvation. What Christ wins by his cross, the Spirit gives by his word. So if the Holy Spirit does not give the gifts of Christ, how can you get them? You can't. The Holy Spirit alone creates faith and alone sustains faith by that word. So a conscience can have peace and rest because of the work of Christ that has been proclaimed to him. The Father loves you because of Jesus. The Father accepts you because of Jesus. The Father receives you into heaven because of Jesus and what he has accomplished. And this testimony has been proclaimed not by men, but by the Spirit of God. This truth does not come from family traditions or church traditions. It doesn't come from governments or society. It doesn't come by looking out at nature or even by looking into our own heart of how we feel about God. The truth that eases our conscience comes only by the word. So do you see how Christ establishes the Holy Spirit as the greatest preacher on earth? If he does not preach to you, you cannot be saved. So he guides you into all truth by speaking to you, Jesus says. He takes what is mine and declares it to you, Jesus says. This is not some internal voice that touches the heart. This is an external voice that comes from outside of you, that hits your eardrums, is processed by your brain's auditory cortex, and is received into your heart and your soul. The Spirit is not a spirit of disorder that randomly touches people. He works through a word, a clear, discernible word. The Spirit is not a spirit of chaos and disorder that makes you uncontrollably shake, close your eyes, wave your arms, or speak in unheard of languages. Such men do have a spirit, it's just not the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is a spirit of peace and of order, a spirit of structure, for God is a God of order and discipline. So according to Jesus, and take that for what it's worth, according to Jesus, a spirit-filled worship experience is not one that moves your heart, but it's one that takes the gifts of Christ and proclaims them to you in word and in sacrament. Christ binds the Holy Spirit to the Word of God to prevent you from looking into your heart or from gazing up into heaven, wondering what God thinks of you. He has told you what he thinks of you, justified because of Christ. We cannot divorce the Holy Spirit from the Word. Whenever that Word is spoken, there is the Holy Spirit working through that Word to give you the very gifts that Christ has won on Calvary. The word is that sword of the Spirit, which drives back Satan, slays our fallen flesh, and heals so that we might be holy and righteous before God. So do not look for the Spirit in your own thoughts and feelings. Do not look into your heart to see if you have the Spirit. Do not look at your life or your good works either. Look at his word. If you have the Spirit, you have the Word. And if you have the Word, you have the truth. These three things are always tied together: Spirit, Word, and truth. If you have one, you have the others. And if you are missing one, you are missing the others as well. This is why we confess that we stand on Scripture and Scripture alone. Not Scripture and tradition, not Scripture and our own reason or feelings, not Scripture and what is culturally acceptable, not Scripture and our personal life experience even. That one's a tough one for us. But we judge our relationship with God based on Scripture and Scripture alone, what He has declared about us and given to us by His Spirit. Everything else must submit to that word of God. So Scripture alone is the full, complete, and unadulterated truth which establishes peace, order, and structure between us and God and between us and one another. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.